All right, we'll start at the top of page book and Aleph. We're just going to continue the sugya again. This is the sugya from Ksubos. The only difference is the ending of the sugya here. It's missing the ending that they have in Ksubos, so we'll have to talk about that. So the Gemara is in the position right now trying to figure out how this woman can be Oser, right? In the Devarim, how can she be Oser things after she's divorced? Because we have a general issue with Davar Shelo Padi Olam, something that's not within, that does not exist yet, right? There's not an existence yet. That's the first issue. And the second issue is, I mean, that is her ability to control something that's not now, that she doesn't have in her possession right now. So that's how the Gemara ended off yesterday. So the Gemara's last attempt at dealing with Davar Shelo Padi Olam almost says that I'm Rabbi Huna Breder of Shua's Bomer, Yikachu Adaylo Sehem. So use the physical hands. She's Mekadish, her hands, not just the outfit, but her hands themselves. So that's Dover Shabali Olam. So Mar says, Hain Nu Beholam. The Chi Amar Halki Kacho. Does that really work? Bahami Shabdan Yodi Labal. Why does it overcome the issue that we've had until now? So that takes care of the Dover Shabali Olam. The problem is that they still belong to her husband. Her outfit belongs to her husband. How could she even Mekadish them? Mar says, Dama Lachi Megarsho. When I get divorced, then it will take effect. So she's not having the neder take effect today, she's having to take effect when she gets divorced. So the chos and neder is only when she has control over it. So that works, great. Hashta, problem is, hashta, mia, lo megarsha. Problem is, right now she is not divorced. The way the Ron reads that is that this is a dabar shelo ba liolam, because she's not divorced yet. So according to one who says dabar shelo ba liolam, we solve the problem. Because all she's going to say is it's my hands, and it's in the future. That could work, but the problem is for the one who still says Dabar Shelo Olam, you can't be Mekadesh, how does she deal with the fact that she's not divorced yet? So that the Gemara says, and discusses this, how do we know that it works? Even if she says Lachim Megarsha, that it's going to work at all. So that, we have the answer, Amar Abila, Ma Ilu Omer Lecha Beiru Sode Zushani Mokabach. This field that I'm going to sell to you, when I buy it back from you, Taktish, that it should be Kodesh, Milo Kodesh, would it not be Kodesh if you did such a thing? So, two over here. This woman, right, when she gets divorced, will be able to have the nether be Chal. So the first thing is that the statement of Rabbi Yilah is not a Mishnah Masnisa, it's a Svara. It's a Svara Rabbi Yilah, that then in such a case, a person can make Kodesh the field. Now, the weakness in his argument is apparent right away. What's the weakness in his argument?
She's not saying that. She's not saying that tonight in the future tonight.
Well, she says the chimed arsho. She's saying when I get divorced.
Oh, the chimed arsho.
Right, when I get divorced. But what's the real weakness? Weakness is in that over here, he owns the field. He owns the field, and he's saying, when I buy it back, I'm going to sell it to you. When I buy it back from you, right, he owns the field. Right, he has ownership.
Control.
Right, exactly. So he has control over the field now, and he's going to sell it later. So that's the question. The Gemara's going to ask that in a second. That's the Gemara. The Gemara's going to ask the question right away. But what was Rabbi Yilah thinking? I mean, you have to understand. All right, Rabbi Yilah knew that there was a difference because he owns the field today versus her. She's not divorced today. She's not on her own and then trying to get married and then divorced again. So the Ron explains that each one of them has a what they call a yeter and a chisaron. Each one of these cases has one thing that's better than the other and one that's worse. So what's worse about the case of the divorce, we know already, is that she's not in her own possession right now, whereas the field is in his possession. But what's the other side? The other side is that when she's married, the goof always belongs to her. She's always in possession of her hands. She's always in possession of her goof. What's not belonging to her are the payrolls. The output of her hands are what belong to her husband. But she is always in control of the goof. That is not true in the case of Rabbi Yilah, where the goof and the payrolls of Karka leave his possession. At one point, they're totally out of his possession. And since they're totally out of his possession, that makes the case a weaker case than her case of Yilah. So Rabbi Yilah was suggesting that maybe that fact that she always holds on to her goof should be sufficient, right, to keep her in the, or give her the ability to be made for the nether. So now, Matthew Flav Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah challenges me, Domi. How can you compare this? So the Zusha anymore, Chalakha, Hashta Biyodehi. It's in his hands right now. Hisha Biyodeh, Lahakdish, Maisi Yadel. Right? How could the woman can't be Makdish or Maisi Yadel today? Hello, Domi. It's more comparable to this case. Allah Omer Lachavero. Someone said, Savin, So the Zusha Macharti Lacha. This field which I sold to you, Lishik Ekachenim Chatakdish. when I buy it back from you, it will be Kodesh. So the Gemara says over there, Mikodesh, right? That, in case we know, it doesn't work. So here, a person standing here, he doesn't own a field, he had sold a field to a friend, he goes to me, I'm going to buy that field back from you. When I buy it back from you, it's Kodesh. So we say there, it's not Kodesh. Why? He has no control. He has no balance over this field. What right does he have to say anything about this field? It's not his field. It's not his owner. He doesn't own it. He doesn't have any rights to it. If that's the case, what would be our situation should be the same. This woman has no ownership, no rights, and therefore, how can she be Makdish or Maaseh Yadayim? The answer is, well, it's not really comparable. Why is it not comparable? Because in our case, the woman does have some ownership. The woman has the ownership of her goof. The goof belongs to her. She's Meshubah, her payrolls, the output are Meshubah to the husband, but her goof belongs to her. And that's different than the case that Rabbi Yirmiyah just brought. So we have two extremes. We have Rabbi Yilah bringing the extreme where I'm standing here today and I'm saying I can be a Makdish to the Sada and everybody agrees this works, but that's a problem because he owns the field today and then he's going to sell it and buy it back. Then the other extreme we have Rabbi Yirmiyah who says he doesn't even own the field. It has nothing to do with the field. He says when I buy it, it's going to be Kodesh. That does not work. And now we're saying, wait, but our case over here is like neither of these two cases. Because our case over here has one difference, and that's, again, that the woman does have ownership at this point in time. It's an ownership of her goof. She doesn't have the ownership of the payrolls, but she at least has ownership of their goof. So we have a case that's in between these two cases. So now we have to find a matching case that sits in between these two extremes. One extreme where he doesn't own anything, the other extreme where he owns everything today, and it's one where he mocked his field, one doesn't work. So now we have to find something in the middle. So now, so the Gemara says, so maskim flora papa mi dami gabi zvina psika milsayu gabi isha mi psika milsa, right? By commerce or by trading, right? Psika milsayu, we know that, meaning that there's nothing there, he has no ownership, everything's clear, right? Aba isha mi psika milsa alo dami, it's not more similar, it's actually much more similar to the case Omer Chabero sade zushe mashkanti lecha likeshe epadena mimcha or epadena mimcha takdish. This is another case. What he gives over his field as collateral, right? For some sort of loan, for some reason, he gives it as a collateral to his friend. And he says, when I redeem it, when I take it back from you, this collateral, I will be makdishes. Now this sounds exactly. Now we found this type of case where the kufa karka belongs to you, but yet in the interim, you've lost control over the karka. So same thing here. The woman owns her yadayim and her maizidayim. But in the interim, she's mishavet, or she's giving that over to her baal. So it's over here. You own a property. You've given it as a mashkon. It's still your property. You still own the property, but the mashkon has been given over to someone else as collateral in the meantime. In the meantime, he can have the payrolls, he has the output. But in the end, it'll come back to you, just like the woman. When she gets divorced, it'll come back to her maizidayim. And in that instance, we say that it is kodesh. That he can be makdish to the field. If you own a field and you make it as a mashkon, you're allowed to be makdish to the field. If you're makdish to the field, why can't this woman be makdish for Maaseh Yadayim? The Gemara says, well, that's not exactly the case. Why? Maskelah Rav Sheshi Brei David and Midami. How can you suggest that these cases are similar? Sade biyada liftoto, isha biyada lahit garesh. Right? There's one little difference between these two cases. Right, now we've come up with a circumstance that's the same, which is that the goof belongs to you, but the payrolls are given away. Gufa Yadayim belong to her, but she's given away her payrolls, her Maaseh Yadayim. Here, the Gufa Karka belongs to you, you've just been mamashking it, you've given it as collateral. So those, yeah, the cases are identical. Problem is, can you get your field back? The answer is yes. Whenever you decide you want to pay the money and redeem it, you can resume control over the field. Can this woman get control over her Maaseh Yadayim back? No. Yeah, the Chimagarsha, but Girushin are not in her hands. She can't make that decision to have Girushin. It's not in her ability to make that decision. So maybe the case by the Mashkam, why we are able to be Makdish, is because not only do you own the Gufa Karka, but you have the ability to take back the payrolls whenever you want. So that gives you enough control to be Makdish. But this woman, even though she owns her hands, but the Maaseh Yadayim payrolls are out, but she doesn't have enough control to get it back when she wants. And that lack of control may also, right, preclude her from being able to be Makdish or Reoser, those Maaseh Yadayim. So I says, all right, we'll have to come up with another case. So Maski Flavor of Shesh Breda Rabidi Midomi. Sada Biyada Lifto, so you should be able to lead Karish. Halo Dami Ella Omer Chavero Sada Zushi Mashkanti Lechola Eser Shanim. So it's a case where he gives his field as collateral for 10 years. So in the 10 years, can he get it back when he wants? The answer is no. So now this is much more similar to the case by the woman. The woman can't get her Maaseh Yadayim back. He can't get his field back. And yet we say that when he's makdish the field, it is kodesh. I said, well, but it's still not exactly the same case. Why? Because after 10 years, he will get the field back. After 10 years, will the woman be divorced? Not in her hands, not necessarily. Right? So that's the question that I'm going to go up and say, Mashgi love Rashi, mi domi, hotam kaitz isha, or mi isbacha. I'm sorry, hotam kaitz, over there it ends, the mashkun ends at a certain point, isha mi isbachi tzuta, by the woman, there's no end to the marriage. The marriage doesn't have an automatic termination point. Right? This doesn't automatically terminate after 10 years, 20 years, that's not the way the marriage works. They have to take an action to terminate the marriage. Whereas by the field, there's, after 10 years, it automatically terminates the mashkun and it'll come back to him. Or at least he'll be able to be poded after 10 years. So he has control after 10 years. Here she never regains control, at least from her side. She can't regain control without someone else doing something, not another meister from the other side. Ella, so now what are you going to do? We can't find, again, the problem that we're facing right now is we have a goof that belongs to her, a meister yadayim that belong to someone else, that are meshubah to someone else, and it's meister yadayim that she has no ability to get back. I mean, that not within her control or purview to get them back. Someone else could give them back. If she gets divorced or she becomes an omana, she will get them back. But that's not something that she controls. So we've tried to, we've gone through a sequence of cases here to try to compare them. So we started out with a case that said, oh, it's about a field that I own and that I'm going to be makdish in the future. There we rejected it because the field's in your possession today. So we started the other case, oh, it's a case where you don't have the field in your possession, then you're makdish in the future. And we said, that's not comparable. Wait, it doesn't work. So that's not comparable either because here she owns, she still has the goof. There you don't own anything in the karka. So we came into these interim cases where, talked about mashkon. Mashkon is a case where you own, still own the kufa karka, but you've given away the Peros. So we went through a number of iterations. One iteration where it was just a regular mashkon. Another iteration was where it was a mashkon for 10 years. Right? And why don't these work? Why are these not comparable? Because in the cases of the fields, you're in control to take back the field. So even though you don't own the peros, the output right now, but you own the gufa karka, you could get the peros back whenever you want. That ability gives you, or that right, allows you to be makdish the karka for the future. Whereas this woman is missing that ability. She's missing the ability to get the karka better maaseh yadayim back whenever she wants. That lack of ability, maybe that prevents her from being makdish or oser it in the future. So we don't come up with any parallel case that matches exactly to our case here. So now we switch. Rav Ashi rejected that last answer, and Rav Ashi takes a different approach. It's the beginning of the Amud Bet. Rav Ashi says, Allah Amar Rav Ashi, shiny konamot. Konamot are different. The chi kedushas haguf domi. They're the equivalent of kedushas haguf. So when you're makdish something to the base of Mikdash, there are two possibilities of how you can make something kodesh to the base of Mikdash. There's kedushas domim and kedushas haguf. Kedusha as a goof is where the item that you're being makdish will then be used in the mikdash. Meaning that it's something that will be used in the service of the mikdash. For instance, the classic case is an animal. An animal that can be used as a korban. If you're makdish the animal, the assumption is that animal would be used as a korban in the mikdash on the mizbeach. Whereas if you're makdish something that has no direct usage in the mikdash, then what we call it is called kedusha damim. You're being makdish it in order to redeem it and give the monetary value of this object to the mikdash. So for instance, this isn't the classic case, but I'll make it, what happens if you have an animal that is a balmum?
Yeah, the animal that's...
There's a daf on Shabbos, right? So we have an animal with a balmum, so then it's not roi l'mizbeach. If you're makdish that animal, it can't be kedushas haguf because there's no way that animal is going on the mizbeach. So when you're makdish it, you're only makdish it for the value that animal has. You'll redeem that animal, and that value will go to the mikdash. The mikdash will sell it to someone else and take the monetary value. So it's not that they have no use for this animal, so that becomes kedushas domim. So that's the difference, kedushas haguf and kedushas domim. Now, kedushas haguf cannot be redeemed. And kedushas haguf means that you're going to give this to the mikdash, and it's going to be used in the mikdash. It's going to be put on the mizbeach, and there's no way to redeem it. It's stuck. Once you've done that, right, it's there, and it won't come back, and you can't redeem it. Whereas kedushas domim, the whole point is to redeem it because it's only for its monetary value. So kedushas haguf is a stronger form of kedusha, or a higher level of kedusha, and therefore it has implications. And what's that? Kedurabah. Rabba says, Dama Rabba, Hektesh, Chametz, Vishichrur, Mafkimi de Shibud. There are three things that can take away a Shibud. And a Shibud is some sort of lien that you have on a piece of property. If you have a lien on a piece of property, there are ways to remove that lien. What are the ways to remove that lien? One of them is Hektesh, one of them is Chametz, and one is Shichrur. So start backwards. Shichrur is the easiest one. A person has an Eved Kenani, and he has a loan out. He decides to give the Eved Kenani as collateral for the loan. He says, you have the ability to collect from this. If I don't pay the loan back, you come here and you take this Eved Kenani as collateral. That'll be your payment for the loan. In the interim, he goes ahead and frees the Eved. Right, so there went your collateral because he freed the Eved. Are you allowed to do that? Right, so generally, if someone has a lien on something, you can't go and undermine their lien. One of the ways you can't undermine a lien is shichrur. Shichrur happens to be something that's strong enough to undermine a lien. So if you free the Eved, his lien is gone, the Eved is free, and then he'll have to come and collect from other pieces of your property. I mean, he'll have to get his collateral somehow else, he'll have his payment somehow other than through this Eved. So that's one way. So that removes a Shibud. Another thing that removes a Shibud is the Zinyona de Omomos Chametz. Right, Chametz, if you give your Chametz to a guy as collateral, don't give it to him. You say that this Chametz is collateral. Then Pesach comes, and you own Chametz on Pesach. What's the rule about owning Chametz on Pesach? Chametz on Shavar Lava Pesach is Asur. It leaves your possession. During Pesach, it leaves your possession. So that Chametz, if it belongs to the goy, if it's a mashkon with the goy, a goy is allowed to own Chametz on Pesach. Therefore, it won't be around. We do mechiras Chametz. We sell our Chametz to a goy, because when the goy owns the Chametz, then it's not ours over Pesach. And then after Pesach, you can use the Chametz because it didn't belong to you during Pesach. But over here, we have a mashkon. You own the Chametz still. It's just collateral to the goy. Since you own the Chametz, it's Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach. And when Pesach came, you lost the rights to it, and it becomes Aser Behana. Aser Behana is going to ruin it. Once it's ruined, then you can't pay the loan back. It can't be collateral anymore because it's Aser Behana. And you're going to have to burn or destroy that Chametz. The only way it works is if what's the Gemara in Sukkim calls it Hirhinoi, it's low. Not only to give it as collateral, but you actually put it into his possession. You give it his collateral, and you put it in his house, and you give it to him, you designate a place for it, and he takes full possession of it, of the collateral, then it won't be Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach. But otherwise, if it becomes Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach, then the Chametz gets rid of the goy's lien on the Chametz, and becomes Chametz that's Aser. The last case is Hektesh HaGuf. You make an animal as collateral for a loan that you took out, and then you go ahead and you makdish this animal, you makdish it for the Mizbeach, then it goes to the Mizbeach. It's not even considered Gezel. It's your animal to be makdish. Your makdish is a goof. It undoes his lien or removes his lien from the animal. And you can go and take it and bring it as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's Rashi says. Rashi in Maksubos Gittin says that it's only Kedushas HaGuf, not Kedushas Damim. Rabbeinu Tam argues and says that even by Kedushas Damim this works. But I think the easier way to read the Gemara is that it's by Kedushas HaGuf and not by Kedushas Damim. Right. It happens to be a machlokes rishonim. Not either, but in
the... But it depends on how you're makdish it. If a person says, he doesn't say, behemazu, but he says, hare alai, you know...
Hare alai karban is not reference to the... is an obligation on the person, not on the animal. So that's no...
So obviously there are cases where he points out that...
Right, if Kedushas HaGuf is where this animal specifically was designated for a karban, yes. That's correct. My question is whether Kedushas Damim can also do the same effect. I mean, if you're makdish something done to the mikdash, can that also remove a lien? Rashi says no. The Rabbeinu Tam says yes. All right. So this Kedushas HaGuf can remove a lien or a shibud here. So that's what Ravash is answering. What do we have here? We have a woman whose hands belong to her, and the husband has a lien on her hands or on her output. So can she remove that lien? The answer generally should be no, she can't remove the lien. But we do have these three exceptions where she can remove the lien. Kedushas HaGuf, Chametz, and Shichrur. So does she have in the Nedarim something that's equivalent to being Makdish? The answer is yes, we have that. What is that? That's called Konamot. Right, you can take a Nedar, Konamot, and we said before earlier in the Sechta, we even had, Gemara was discussing whether Konamot have a pijon to them. Do they act like how, they're so similar to Hektesh, the Gemara even wants to have them act like Hektesh in many ways. So Gemara says here, may kona motz also work because they're like kedushas haguf. Since they're like kedushas haguf, they could remove, right? They can alleviate the husband's lien from her output. So she does that. She says, Konamot. She removes her husband's lien from her hands, and now she can do whatever she wants with them. She can also that act in them. She can make any decisions she wants about the Alpha. So now, what's the obvious question? What are you going to ask me? If she can remove the lien, if you can remove the lien, then why do we have to wait until she's divorced? She can remove the lien. She can be makdishim today. She can also them today. She can say konamot. Right? She asks her hands, her output of her hands, right now. And the husband has a lien on them. Say too bad. Konamot, remove a lien. You're out of luck. Right? She's also them today. Why are we talking about the chimigarsha when he divorces her? Right? Why do we have to wait until he divorces her?
Don't we learn by Yiftach that you can't be makdish a human kedusha saguf?
Right, but no, but it's konamot. She's doing konamot, which is the equivalent of kedusha saguf. She's not being makdish at kedusha saguf, but she's konamot have the same strength as kedusha
saguf. To break a shiva.
Right, exactly. They are not kedusha saguf, but they function like kedusha saguf. We're looking for konamot. We're looking for a paradigm in which they work. So we have kedusha saguf, and we say konamot function the same way as this paradigm called kedusha saguf work. Right. Not that they are kedusha saguf.
Is the husband's ownership over her masay dayan equivalent to a lien or stronger than a lien?
Oh, so that's going to be the Gemara's answer. Very good. They are only a lien. It's a shibud. Right? But the Gemara in Ksubos answers, it's not found in our Gemara, but the Gemara in Ksuba answers, Al-Mu'a Rabbanan the Shibud Debal. Seen this before. Rabbanan strengthened the Shibud Habal. They strengthened the Shibud Habal.
For her benefit.
Right. Right, that's exactly. Very good. Right. So that otherwise, she can always just take a nether and get rid of her husband's rights to her. I see that. Right, so Amu al Shibud al Baal. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosfos asks in Tzulos, exactly your question. Why doesn't anybody who is a Baal Kol, go ahead, take a nether about their field, and boom, the lien's gone, right? Or you be makdish the field. I mean, anybody who's borrowing and using things as collateral, he wants to get the collateral back, he can either be makdish it, or he can take a nether about it, have konamot, then it'll remove the Shibud of the other individual. Yeah. You have a case here where there's no, again, you lose all miskar, you lose all business, because nobody would be willing to accept collateral if everybody can always remove it. So the Tosfos, the Gemara never says this, but Tosfos over there says, Al-Mu'a di Shibuda, right, the Baal Chov. You have to say, that's what Tosfos says, that they, Korbanan, just like they strengthened the Shibud of the Baal, they also strengthened the Shibud of the Baal Chov, in order that it could preserve his lien on the property, because otherwise you'll end up with a situation where it's not valuable, but not viable to have business transactions in this manner. That's it. So now if they strengthen the Shibud of the Baal, we're back to our original problem.
Yeah.
Right, if they strengthen the Shibud of the Baal, that means she has no right to do anything now. So why can she do this? In Tchina Garsha, we're back to step one again, where she's doing it in the future, she doesn't have control today. So that's the right answer is no, because Mi'ikar ha'alokha, she has control today. Mi'ikar ha'alokha, she really could say this nether and take control today. The Rabbanan overrode her ability to do that. But since Mi'ikar ha'din, she really does have control today, therefore we allow her to say L'chi Megarsha in the future that it'll work. Because it's as if they suspend her nether. It's really, her nether took place today, but the Rabbanan Amud HaShibud to suspend it until there is Gerushin. But not that they remove the nether entirely, but they suspend it because Mi'ikar ha'alokha, she really does have control. That's the way the Gemara in Ksubos ends. Now I will say that the Rishonim here say that our Gemara ends the same way. All right, the Bach even changes the gear, so you see there's an Aleph there in our Gemara, changes the gear so to read like it does in Ksubos. And look, the Rosh even explains the Gemara. He has the words from the Gemara in Ksubos that don't find in our Gemara and reads them that way. And the Ron also, everybody says it means the same thing. All right, I'm just telling you, I don't have an alternative explanation, but I'm saying that's not what our Gemara says. Our Gemara says, Yihachi lamali shemi yigashenam. Right, why do you have to wait? Right, until she is divorced. I mean, what does it mean? Shema Yigarshena. Why does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah say, we're worried about the Shema Yigarshena when she gets divorced? Let's worry about it now. If she can be Oker the Sheba, let's worry about it now. That's why she'd be made for it. But it says, Tani should write, oh, Shema Yigarshena. And maybe he will divorce her. All right, I don't know. I don't know what that answer means. Again, all the Rishonim here said this means the same thing that I just said to you, that Al-Mu'a Shibudu de Rabbanu. That the Rabbanan strengthened the Shibud of the Baal, and therefore she can't do this. So Shema Yigashena means that, yes, because they were strengthening the Shibud of Baal, therefore the only time we worry about it is when she gets divorced later on. That's when we worry about it. But again, that doesn't fit into the words here, and you have to, what? And then therefore you have to look at the box. You see the box just changes, throws out this whole Girsa and writes the Girsa like the Gemara in Ksubos. It means here, Almuad the Shibuda the Baal.
So when we say, it's part of the Pshat Ksubos, etc., that the sheep is broken once she makes this statement, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Does it affect the status of the marriage at all?
No.
Marriage is intact?
Yeah.
Minus the sheba of the...
Right, the sheba, because we could create a situation, depending, I mean, again, this is my focus on Buna and in Ksubos, whether who has control over Maisei Yadayim. I mean, that, of course, there's one day that she controls her Maisei Yadayim, and she can decide whether to trade them for Mizonos or not. She can say, I want Mizonos, and then her Maisei Yadayim are Ksuba, or she can say, any Oko. I won't do anything, and I won't eat, and I'll take care of myself. Right, that's one opinion. The other opinion in Ksubos is that the husband's in control. The husband gets to make the decision. She is automatically mishubad to her husband. And the husband can decide to say to her, you know what, keep your Maisei Yadayim and feed yourself, or not. So there is that shibud, whether she has control over the shibud or not, again, has to do with who's in control here, whether it's the husband or the wife.
But why did we want him to be made for the matter now? Because just in case he wants to take her back afterwards.
Right, Mashami Yigarshana, right.
Okay. So we discussed earlier in the Gemara that we don't want to create a situation where her Yadat, where he won't be able to benefit from her Maisei Yadayim.
Right. Because it makes the marriage untenable. It's not because
correct.
It ruins the marriage, but it makes the marriage untenable.
So here...
Right. Yes, the outcome will be that the marriage...
He's not going to want to take her back anyway, because her hands are now kadosh, and he has no way of benefiting from Maisei Yadayim, so if he's made for the neder or not, he's not going to be able to benefit anyway.
No, because now when he's made for the neder, the neder doesn't work. It's gone. The neder's gone. Right? If he's made for the neder, then when she gets divorced, it's not gone. That's the whole point of being made for the neder.
Okay, so that's why...
That's where Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri's suggestion is be made for the neder, so you don't run into this problem when you get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you're not married there, it's not a problem today for you in your marriage right now, but if you get divorced, it could become a problem, and then you won't be able to be Maxir or Kedusha. So
that's why they said that's why they use the case of Kedusha Saguf breaking the shiva, as opposed to her asering herself on him in one of the ways she can, in theory, asser.
No, it's Konamot. It's not real Kedusha Saguf. It's Konamot. It's a neder. It's a neder, an Easter neder. Not Konamot, like she's Maktish her hand,
right.
But that she says she uses Konamot, which is a term that's equivalent to Kedusha Saguf. It has the same power as Kedusha Saguf.
Has the same power. So in theory, there's three possible ways that a Kedusha Saguf can be broken. One of them is applicable to Konamot, right, which is...
No, there's no way. There's three different ways a sheba could be broken.
A sheba could be broken, right?
Right?
So one of them is Kedusha Saguf,
right.
Another one is Shechur, another one is Chametz.
Right.
Okay.
And then her Konamot is the equivalent of Kedusha Saguf, and so she could break the Shibud.
Right.
We say that the Shibud is not broken because we strengthen the Baal's Shibud over here so that she cannot overcome it. And the reason, again, after she's divorced, he could marry her. He could marry her, but... The problem with marrying her is that he's going to be in an untenable situation where his wife can't do anything for him. Anyway, so the man says that that's not going to be a lasting marriage. That's one. Number two is Iran even points out over here that there is, we're talking about a case where she offers not simply her output. If it was just her Maisei Yadayim, then the Gemara doesn't see that as an untenable marriage, because we see in many places she says, "Any oseh, v'ani mizonis," right? I won't do it, and I won't do for you, I won't do my Maisei Yadayim for you, and I won't eat. So you can have a marriage that exists in that manner. So why does that prevent him from marrying her? So the Ran, I think earlier, suggests that it's a case where she asks not only her Maisei Yadayim, but even the seven Malachot. If you remember in the Gemara Ksubos, there were seven things a wife must do for her husband, even when she doesn't provide Maisei Yadayim to her. There are certain Darachiba, be Matzeit Mita, bring Makos Chamin, certain basic things that generate love or relationship between the husband and wife. So that's what she's asking over here. When she takes a net and the Asar Anoa, she's blocking herself from doing those seven things as well. So she's blocking herself from those seven things. That's what makes the marriage untenable. Not the Maisei Yadayim in themselves, but those extra things, which even if she restricted her Maisei Yadayim, she would still have to do for her husband. All right, new Mishnah. Nadra ishto v'sabrosh nadra bito. Right, his wife takes the neder, and he thinks that it's his daughter who took the neder. Nadra bito, his daughter took the neder, v'sabrosh ishto, nadra ishto, and his wife took the neder. His response would have been different if it was his wife or his daughter. In both instances, he has control, right? A father over his daughter can be might make her a neder, and a husband can be made for the neder of his wife. So he mistakenly assumes it's his daughter or his wife that took the neder, and based on that, he gives an answer that would not be appropriate for them because he thought it was the other.
But isn't it a case of he's going to revoke the nether, but or not the nether, but using the daughter's name, or the, or is he, you know what I mean, is it the problem that he's assigning the nether to the wrong person, as opposed to, oh, well, if she had taken the nether, I would have annulled it, but I haven't annulled it for the other person.
But it's either, I think,
the response or the assignment?
It's both. I mean, either way, he understands, he has the wrong piece of information, and when he's made fair, even if he gets, I mean, if he finds out the wrong nether, then he's being made fair, when he nullifies it, he's referencing the nether that he spoke to him about,
yeah,
right?
So, I mean, so, in other words, let's say he, in both cases, he's another.
Right.
For both parties.
Right.
And he annuls it for the wrong one.
Right. So it would not be, the annulment would be invalid.
Yeah.
That's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying that it's invalid in either case, because we're going to see in a second, he needs to specify which nether, and has to be the, he has to know it. There's no hafara b'talos. That's basically the problem. Right? Just like there's no hekdesh b'talos, there's no hafara b'talos. You can't make a, if you make a mistake in your nullification, that is not a nullification. That's basically right, the problem here. Alright, so nidra ishto b'savar shenadra b'ita, nadra b'ita b'savar shenadra ishto, nadra b'nazir b'savar shenadra b'in the korban. She took a nether in Zerus. He thinks she took a nether to bring a carbon. Nether carbon. He thinks that she took a nether about a carbon. She did take a nether about a carbon. Vesover, she nadra benazir. He thinks that she's nadra benazir. Nadra benazirus. So in all these cases, we say, what? It's not hafara because he's hearing about the wrong case. He has the wrong information. Nadra mita'inim.
You say, nether of carbon. Is that that she actually took a nether that she was going to bring a carbon, or that she used like a lotion of carbon?
Either way, right. It's not clear, but either way it would be. Point is that it's not what he thought, right, exactly. Alright, so, she spoke about figs, and he thinks they're talking about grapes. She took it from grapes, the sovereign shenadrim in attainim, he thinks it's dates, harizeh, yakzor b'yefar. Right, he has to go back and do another hafara, meaning that his hafara is not meaningful. It has no validity. Why does it have no validity? That is the next line in the Gemara. It said, well, I mean, we'll do this, we'll stop here, and then we'll just do some ran, because it's an important ran on this. The memra, the yani ota dafka avo. So when it says yani ota, that is literally. So what is the pasuk says about the ability to remove, right? The word heini means to dissuade. Right? So if he dissuades her, right? Im heini avia uta. If his father, if the father dissuades her from doing it, b'yom shemo when he hears it, kol nidre avas rashi asra nafsha lo yakum. That is hafara. Right? It's pasuk vav. Right? It's pasuk vav. Im heini avia uta. B'yom shemo kol nidre avas rashi asra nafsha lo yakum hashem yisachlak heini avia uta. Again, the word uta means specifically her. So the limud here is ota. Ota means literally this woman and this nether. You must know who the nether is, who's saying the nether. So that's not bito or ishto, right? And you must know the content of the nether. I mean that ota, that nether, right, that you need. You must have the specific nether. Ota is a mute to suggest that you must have this nether and the this woman.
If he thought his daughter made the vow, that was really his wife, and his daughter, your vow is annulled. And if your mother had said the same thing, I would have annulled it.
Right, that's a good question. I didn't, right.
He shouldn't have her in mind.
I don't think it would work, only because it's not B'yom Shemo. He's not hearing about it, right? So I don't know if that would work. But, I don't think so. But that's a good question.
Why don't we say that this violates Yom Shemo? Because
that's it. He didn't hear it. That's the problem. The Yom Shemo, he has to get the right information.
Right.
He didn't hear about the nether. He didn't hear the nether. That's exactly the point. He didn't hear about the nether.
I thought it was referencing the aspect that he has to be meini, a specific thing.
Right, it is.
But it's not referring to what he did or did not hear. It has to do with what he did or did not hear.
Because he has to know the specific nether, therefore what he heard is not what he needed to hear. I mean, that if you would say that if he did it hafara, and it works anyway, you know, like say his daughter took the nether, then even though it was his wife that took the nether, and he hears this guide of his daughter, and he's made for it. If we didn't have this ota, that type of hafara, general hafara, would work, and it would wipe out his wife's nether, even though he hadn't heard about it because he's hearing.
I'm saying that we have a prerequisite that he hear the specific nether.
But it may be just that he has to hear about a nether. Who says that it's her nether that he has to hear? But he has to hear about a nether to do the nullification. Otah means that he's got to hear her nether, and if it's her that took the nether. Right, that's the meal. I understand what you're saying. I just think that's the Gemara. I think that's the Gemara saying that the Hanyotaj is modifying what when the Shiyuk Shema was. Right, so now that's the end. We'll stop here. We'll deal with the qualifying. Right, William Shemos. We'll stop here. The Ron has a question. He goes, okay, that's good for Hafara, but what about Hakama? Right, that works if he's made for the Neder. You have a meal to Botah by Hafara. But what about Hakamas and Neder? Where do you get such a meal by Hakamas and Neder? The word Otah is not written by Hakamas and Neder. So why does the Gemara automatically assume just because it works by Hafara, it's going to work by Hakama? So what's going to be your answer? We've seen it.
Mikesh.
Very good. Right. It says Isha Heferam. Right. Isha. I'm sorry. Isha Yikimenu. Isha Yeferenu. There's a hekesh between Hafara and Hakama. So that's what you. As he says, the Ron says, well, you're going to tell me that there's a hekesh between Hafara and Hakama. So therefore, anything that works by Hafara must work by Hakama. The Ron says that's not a hekesh gomor. Because we see there are differences, right? We had a Mishnah just earlier on in the previous bracket that Chomer Baba Hafara Miba Hakama. Their Chumra is by Hafara by Den Ma'akama, and Chumra by Hakama is by Hafara. If they're actually equivalent, how could you have it that one is more stringent than the other? See, the Ron says that that Hekesh only applies to Limudim that are learned out of that Pasuk. The Hekesh for Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yifrenu are only for things that are learned out of the Pasuk of Lano Nafesh. That pasuk, if anything that's a limud from that pasuk, that you have a hekesh for. So he really calls it, because in the end, it's really not a hekesh, it's a smichusa ba'alma. It's a smach. The pasuk has to juxtapose. So in that pasuk, there'll be equivalent. But anything outside of that pasuk will not be equivalent. So he says, you can't tell me that it's a hekesh. So what does the Ron do? The Ron comes up, it's amazing, comes up with a limud. If you look at pasuk tedvav, pasuk tedvav, it says, vim hakarish yakarish la. Alright, so now you have the equivalent of a ota, the word la, which is a mute, right? And that is talking about what? If he is silent, right? If he doesn't remember, it's called nidra. Let's talk about hakama. So the Ron says that there's another limud, which doesn't exist in the Gemara, that comes from the word la, by hakama. And therefore, hakama and hafara have the same din, but for different reasons. Hafara has a din because of the word ota, that's the mute, and that's what we read in the Gemara. And Hakama is also going to be, it has to be the specific woman in Neder. That's what we learn out of the Pasuk Tehavah, which says, that it uses the term law. And law is a miyut. And since law is a miyut, that's going to, this same din will apply to Hakama like it applies to Hafara. That's what Ron concludes over here. If you look in the second to last line of the Ron in our page, about five words from the end of the second to last line, Mukan Nir Ali. Based on this assumption, the Rambam Makan Yerli, the Halacha, Tehei Echad Pshita Le'el, earlier in the Gemara, in the Pain Ted, it said, the Baal Eil Mefer L'Shtei Neshav Ke'achat.
I didn't catch, where were you reading?
I'm sorry, the second to last line in the Ram, it's five words from the end of the line, Makan Yerli.
Yeah.
Makan Yerli, the Halacha, Tehei Echad Pshita Le'el, it's simple, above earlier in the Gemara, in the Pain Ted, the Baal Eil Mefer L'Shtei Neshav Ke'achat. A husband cannot be made for a null, the Nedarim of his two wives in one shot. He can't do a single afar for both of them. Right, the ota dafka, because it says the word ota, ota is in mute. Therefore, too, hachanami, eno mekayim l'shtei nashav ke'achat. He will not be able to be making the dharm of his two wives as one. Why? L'shtei nashav ke'achat, the law, dafka. The k'mosh k'tab to the malach, because the Ron has his mute of law. And therefore, he says, any din that applies by afara from the word ota will apply by hakama from the word law. And again, it's the Ron's picking up the limud. I mean, it's not a limud that's found in the Gemara, but the Ron says that that the Mishnah, the Gemara assumes pshita, that Hakama and Hafara have the same din here, it must be that there is some form of miut, right, that applies over here. And where is that miut? So the Ron finds the miut to the pasuk that has the word la.
Even the words nidara, SRA, nidara is a nidara mishala.
Right, or her nether, right.
It's her nether.
But you have to say, that the, I mean, that's not an extraneous word. I mean, the word ota, right, is...
It's not extraneous, but it...
But you need a lima. For the lima, if you want to have something ota, which is a word that wasn't necessary, that teaches you that it's this, that it's a mute of some sort. Right? If it's written in the normal way it's written, then you don't necessarily... You can't learn a lima from that to say that means them and no one else. Right?
But I'm like, why do you even need a mute? What's the term saying? The term is saying that he can be made for her neder.
Right, but he has the rights. In this instance, he happens to have the right to be made for his wife's neder and his daughter's neder. So he's not doing something that is not within the purview of the pasuk with his nederah. These are nederim, shalah, that he's allowed to be made for. mean, that Otah comes to say to you that you must have knowledge or specific knowledge, right knowledge about the specific nether and the specific person who took that nether. All right, so stop here.